Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 427, and for once in a little while, we are not out in the Groove Machine Dome. We are here in the house because, well, I wanted to be. I've got some video encoding in the background. I thought, you know, now's a great time to record the show for the week. And speaking of the week, we've got some brand new Final Fantasy Tactics for you. We've got some brand new Blasto, which... if there's one thing I can tell you about Blasto, it is not a blast. Oh, no. That's how it goes, though. Sometimes it can't all be winners, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of winners, we're going to read some reviews for Gremlins 2. We're going to take a look at a game called Gris from the archives. We've got weird news. We've got our weekly Warren. We've got the now see this thing, whatever the hell I'm calling it. And, you know, I think it's going to be a pretty good one. I got some good stuff in the show this week. Hope you stick around for it. I mean, give me more than, you know, 2 minutes of your time, if you would. I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Gris is a hopeful young girl lost in her own world, dealing with a painful experience in her life. Her journey through sorrow is manifested in her dress, which grants new abilities to better navigate her faded reality. As the story unfolds, Gris will grow emotionally and see her world in a different way, revealing new paths to explore using her new abilities. Gris is a serene and evocative experience, free of danger, frustration, or death. Players will explore a meticulously designed world brought to life with delicate art, detailed animation, and an elegant original score. Through the game, light puzzles, platforming sequences, and optional skill-based challenges will reveal themselves as more of Gris's world becomes available. Gris is an experience with almost no text, only simple control reminders illustrated through universal icons. The game can be enjoyed by anyone, regardless of their spoken language. And indeed, Gris, action platformer puzzle kind of game from Nomada Studio, published by Devolver Digital in 2018. Devolver Digital, who's done a ton of games that I really enjoy or really don't. Not a lot of middle ground with Devolver for me. But yeah, they've been around, 2009, I think. Been around a long time. Anyway, Gris is everything that. It's very, very pretty. There's no dialogue. There's no text. It's all done through some gorgeous artwork, some beautiful music, and a lot of really good storytelling. I would absolutely recommend you check this one out. We streamed it. Didn't quite 100% it, but you know, it was kind of at the point where, as much as I wanted to, I didn't want to, like, keep working on it and ruin the magic of the thing. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense. Check it out. I haven't gone to pull the music for Gris yet, and I'm really excited to, because I remember it being really freaking good. Oh, sometimes we do things in this show that I'm like, why am I doing this? This sounds stupid. You know what I mean? Like, who wants to hear me read bad video game reviews and stupid news stories? Well, enough of you that I keep doing it. But for me, it's like, you know, I don't listen to the show. Right? I listen back sometimes to make sure everything's doing what it's supposed to. But the most fun part I have doing this thing is I get to go and find the music for it. You know, I buy a lot of soundtracks. I rip music when I can direct. Sometimes. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Gremlins 2, the new batch. Available for the NES and the Game Boy. Well, we're not going to look at the Game Boy one because we didn't play that one. Let's see what our good friend Fadubu said in 1999. He says, they says, an interesting movie to game adaptation built on a solid game engine. Still don't have enough reasons to fire up the NES? How about a game that actually outdoes the movie that inspired it? My God, Fadubu. Thank you. Intrigued yet? Maybe not? Well, give Gremlins 2 the new batch a try anyway. The movie stunk to high heaven, but the game is worth a look. See, Fadubu knows. Fadubu knows the movie's terrible. First, I won't warm over the substandard movie, so let's be brief with the plot. You are Gizmo, the good Mogwai, who must stop the evil gremlins, the destructive alter egos of all Mogwai. This time, a whole batch of green beasties have overrun a New York corporate building / TV studio / everything, and you must save the day by defeating the new batch with any weapons you can find. The graphics in this game are interesting. Not great, but interesting. It is shot in a type of three-quarters overhead view with a smoothly moving perspective that hardly ever slows down. Gizmo looks a tad bit strange, but the gremlins here are in all their ugly green glory. The levels are well drawn and fit the plot themes quite well. Icons and weapons are similarly well done. The sound effects are strong, adding a suspenseful, yet campy atmosphere that made the movies so different from other B-movie offerings of the time. Sound effects are pretty much on the money too. The control is hairy at times during jumps. However, the perspective 9 times out of 10 is at fault, and the control is still pretty decent. No jumps are even close to unmakeable. Gizmo is easy to move around in the spacious levels too. Weapons are varied and entertaining, ranging from tomatoes to flaming arrows shot from a paperclip bow. Your weapons power up from icons, and it is time-worn but well-fitting system that does nothing to weaken G2 TNB. The bosses are boring in the beginning, but once the gremlins start to morph and grow personalities like they did in the movie, they get to be pretty nasty. The game is always a challenge, but never too hard until the last two levels, and there are secret areas and items galore to at least make you come back after you beat it. Gremlins 2 The New Batch proves to be a game that stands up to its chump brother on the silver screen. Fadubu gave it a 7. Fadubu, that was a damn good review. Somebody, tell Fadubu that was a damn good review. I like that. I like that just fine. I think he checked all the boxes. Let's move on and see what another regular contributor, Walker Bow, says. Reviewed the game in 2002 and updated it almost exactly a year later. In 2003, they begin. Don't expose them to sunlight, don't feed them after midnight, and whatever you do, don't let them get wet. Gremlins 2 The New Batch is the second in a pair of movies about Gizmo. In this one, he must fight alongside his newfound friend Billy to save the world from another gremlin attack. Billy wasn't newfound. Billy was the main character of the first movie, if you don't consider Gizmo the main character. He manages to escape scientists who want to find out what he is and is taken in by a guy who agrees to help him avoid being recaptured. Your quest starts with you fighting to exterminate the gremlins, who are led by the Spider Stripe. Spoilers, 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 Walker. Go to the timeout corner. Gameplay, 10 out of 10. It plays just like your average shooter. You run around, jump over stuff, and jump on stuff while blowing up stuff. After every other level, you face a gremlin boss. There are 7 levels in the game, so you complete the last level and face off against the Spider Stripe. The game also uses a password system. After all your lives are lost, you will receive a 4-letter password that takes you to the stage you died in, or the one before it. Gremlins 2 is one of those games where the levels come in blocks, each block with two stages in it. I think the password takes you to the beginning of the block you were in when you died, but I could be wrong. It might actually take you to the stage you died in. I don't remember for sure. I don't even remember if I said that previously in this exact same paragraph. God, amnesia, you taunt me. Control, 10 out of 10. Easy. Move our furry protagonist with the D-pad, jump with A, and fire with B. Audio, 10 out of 10. I love the music in this game, especially the music in boss fights. Of the level songs, my favorite has to be the final level, followed closely by the music in blocks 1 and 2. The ending theme is good as well. The sound quality of the music is a lot like Journey to Silius and Fester's Quest, but it's better than Fester's Quest by a long shot, as are the sound effects. Gee, a Walker Bow, I wonder if there might be a reason that these two games from Sunsoft kind of sound the same. Story, 10 out of 10. As said above, Gizmo escapes from a lab where scientists seek to find out what he is. He's taken in by a guy named Billy, who decides to help him evoid recapture. Due to unfortunate circumstances, gremlins are produced, and it's up to Gizmo to try to save the day with his almighty paperclip. I don't think Walker saw the movie, which is good for him. Challenge, 10 out of 10. Are you seeing a trend here? This isn't an easy game, even though its challenge is nothing next to Life Force. So is Life Force a 12 out of 10? Overall, 10 out of 10. Get this game and give it a go. It's definitely worth it. If you can't find a physical copy, download a ROM. Walker wants you to know he gave it a 10. I don't understand that review much, Walker. Sometimes you're spot on, buddy. Sometimes you're... You know what I'm saying? Poke Jed Servo, our final review and a returning contributor, 2003, updated in 2004, says, the best movie-based video game ever made, period. I'm going to read that again and include all of his punctuation, capitalization, etc. Capital T, the, comma, I repeat, all caps, the, best movie hyphen based capital V video capital G game ever made, period. The word period, then a period. That's funny to me. Ah yes, PokeJed Servo starting a review with ah yes, Gremlins 2 for the NES, before the Lord of the Rings games, before the Harry Potter titles, heck, even before the N64 classic GoldenEye came this classic little NES title. Now, sure, movie-based NES games haven't been all that successful in the past, but there's the somewhat above-average Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the decent Nightmare on Elm Street game, but there's also a good amount of mediocrities such as Top Gun and Back to the Future. For example, period parenthesis, which is unfortunate since they were both great movies, period parenthesis. Love it when a whole sentence is inside parentheses. But even to this date, this title outshines them all. For those whom have seen and loved the early 90s movie Gremlins 2, the new batch, then this is definitely, all caps, the game for you. Can those who didn't love the movie like it as well? Oh, sure, it may not have the same affect, but still. Are there any differences in the game compared to the movie? Yes, but not too much to really make a big deal out of, and it's very reasonable why, and it still works. That's a sentence that could use some of that extra punctuation. However, even when you judge it by itself, it's still a great game. The music fits itself quite well into the game, while the graphics of both the gameplay and the storyline cutscenes are great. The gameplay is just fine, as it's certainly not too easy, but not too hard as well, period parenthesis. However, it might seem a bit hard on some parts of the game, so you might want to consider using a Game Genie, period parenthesis. This isn't a incredibly easy to game game to find, parenthesis. However, it's nowhere near as hard as Princess Tomato in the Salad Side Kingdom. Is it Salad Side? I thought it was just Salad. And the like, parenthesis, period. This time the period's outside the parenthesis, not inside. But while it may be hard to find at GameStop and the like, if you can buy things online, you'll probably find it at sites like BuyRight and the like. There's a lot of likes there. But still, overall, this is another one of the many reasons why the NES is such an excellent system and is just simply a very great game to buy and play. Pros, a classic early 90s game from a classic early 90s movie that does its cinematic counterpart a lot of justice. The finest video game based on a movie. Video game is always capitalized. It's a proper noun. It's just simply fun to play even if you don't love the movie. It has a good amount of challenge without being seemingly impossible. It also does well on the technical aspect of graphics and music too. Cons. Some parts may seem too challenging to some gamers, so a Game Genie might be recommended. It's not a truly easy game to find. And even with those two flaws, ladies and gentlemen, PokeJed Servo says it's perfect. Perfect. Back looking at the reviews, the lowest score is a 7. Fadubu gave it a 7, and Casket Darkfire, who writes a Harry Potter fan fiction, I'm sure, both gave it a 7. There's a lot of 10s, there's a lot of 9s, there's a couple 8s. Everybody really likes this game. And as a game, it's pretty good. I agree with Fadubu for the most part. This game is not without its flaws. Some of the platforming is a little suspect, but it looks great. It sounds great. It controls really well. The perspective, I don't think, helps the platforming. I think that's the problem. It's the perspective. But it's a Sunsoft game. It's an early 90s Sunsoft game. You know, Batman, Fester's Quest, Blaster Master, Journey to Silius. God, they did a ton of games. And they were all really good. Like, even the worst ones were still pretty damn good. So this is a pretty damn good game. And I would recommend it if you're into this type of game. Here's the thing. If you like the movie, that's fine. I think the movie's garbage. You don't have to like the movie to play the game. There's no information that you get from the movie that would impact the way you play this game at all. Just, it's not a thing. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Everybody's fine. You're fine. I'm fine. We're all fine here. So, should you play it? I don't know. Except if you like platformers on the NES, give it a try. Give it a try at the very least. I think it's an enjoyable time. I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it fun, but I would call it enjoyable. I will give it a 9 across the board, but I will give it a 7 for gameplay, because the platforming gets a little wonky. I hope you all enjoyed On the Waterfront last week, because we got something totally different this week. We're going to look at the animated version of Watership Down from the novel by Richard Adams. The novel, released in 1972, the movie in 78, features the voices of such people as John Hurt, Richard Briers, Harry Andrews, Simon Cattell, Nigel Hawthorne, and Roy Kinnear. It was the last film work of Zero Mostel. Musical score by Angela Morley, Malcolm Williamson, and Art Garfunkel, who had a song, a hit that came off of this movie. It's a, you may have heard that, like, oh, this movie has rabbits. This will be really cute. And then everybody is traumatized for the rest of their life. It's because this is not a kid's movie. It's very dark. It's very dark. There's so much I want to talk about, but I got such little time. If you haven't read it, it's okay. It's fairly accurate to the book. Basically, our rabbits are all out hanging out, and one rabbit is like he's stricken with like oracle properties, and he sees that horrible things are going to happen. Everybody needs to leave, and violence erupts, rabbit on rabbit violence, and yeah, it gets a little like I said, it gets a little dark. It's not an easy watch. I don't want you to go into it thinking that this, you know, is going to be a pleasant, even though, you know, visually it is very pleasant. Musically, it's very pleasant. Just, you know, it's not a Secret of Nim, right? It is not. It is darker than that. Great movie, though. Fantastic film. Totally recommend. Before we get to the news, I just want to take a second. It's so nice doing this on like the desktop instead of out there and then coming in and then having to transfer everything and edit, you know, do a little post-production. It's just nice. I'm excited for when we can get this set up out there. It'll be so pretty. Anyway, our lead story this week, that's sporting, ladies and gentlemen, the 2024 Iditarod. That's that horse race, dog race. There should be a horse race, though. I want a horse version. The Iditarod race in Alaska got off to a messy start. Sporting News reported on March 7th. On the first day, musher Jesse Holmes went mano a mano with a moose that became aggressive towards his dogs on the trail. Holmes punched the moose in the nose and went on his way. Soon after, Dallas Seavey and his dogs came upon a moose. It's not clear whether it was the same one that was, quote, threatening and belligerent, which is often how I've been described. When the moose got in entangled with his dogs, CV dispensed with the heroics and shot it. As per the Iditarod's rules, CV then stopped for about 10 minutes to field dress the moose, but he was later assessed a 2-hour penalty at the next checkpoint because, quote, the animal was not sufficiently gutted by the musher. A third musher, Wally Robinson, ran across the moose carcass in the dark on a trail curving through the woods, and Race Marshal Warren Palfrey confirmed that, quote, we are making sure that every attempt is made to utilize and salvage the moose meat. So there's that. I've never had moose. I would try moose. Why not try moose? It's the other gamey meat. Clothing optional, ladies and gentlemen, just like this podcast. Looking for something light and airy to do at the end of April? Well, set your GPS for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania and the Crafton Ingram Lanes, where Balls Out Bowling will return on April 28th, according to WTRF-TV, WTURF. The Pittsburgh area naturalists are hosting the event, which requires nudity, except women, who are allowed to wear bottoms. Participants must be 18 or older, and sexual activity is not permitted. Harassment will result in being ejected from the bowling alley. And leave your cell phone at home. No photos or videos allowed. And you won't have anywhere to carry it anyway. Reminds me of that classic pool party slogan, thongs out, dongs out. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly how it goes. The passing parade, ladies and gentlemen, at the last remaining Hooters restaurant in West Virginia. It was preparing for demolition. Residents of Kanawha City gathered on February 23rd for a candlelight vigil. WCHS-TV reported. W-Cheese. The event, which started as a joke, got international attention and hundreds of people showed up. That Hooters was the entire economic backbone of Kanawha City. What the hell are they doing? Joe Manchin's behind this. It's a lot of memories going down with that building, said Noah Collins of Rand, West Virginia. Tearful former Hooters employees reunited for one last time. I started out coming in to get a job and it became so much more because I met so many lifelong friends and my coworkers, said Daniel Hugert. The building right here was a legitimate iconic figure to Kanawha Valley, declared co-organizer Leo Browning. The corporate office sent a box of calendars to distribute to those who attended the vigil. Well, of course they did. There's not a lot of mementos, physical ones, you can get from a Hooters. So, I mean, good on them, I guess. Smooth reaction, ladies and gentlemen. Christina Ilko, 33, a junior research fellow and director of studies at the University of Cambridge Queen's College in England, lives in a medieval tower, The Independent reported. But on February 29th, Ilko became trapped in her bathroom for 7 hours after the wooden door locked behind her and wouldn't budge. She couldn't signal or yell for help because the tower walls are thick and there are no windows in the bathroom. However, she kept her cool and MacGyvered the door opening using an eyeliner to push down the door's latch and a cotton swab to pull the locking mechanism away from the doorframe. Quote, when the door opened, it was exhilarating because I didn't think it would work, Ilko said. Since the incident, she has had the lock removed. I guess it wouldn't work. You could use the old adventure game trick where you slide a piece of paper under the door, and then you poke the key out through the hole, and then you pull the paper under the door with the key on it, and that only works if the gap under the door is big enough for the key. They never mentioned that. I turned into W.C. Fields there for a second. Police report in Kennesaw, Georgia. Police responded to the Heritage Park Town Homes on February 21st after a Toyota Corolla, quote, rammed through the pool fence and she's in the middle of the pool, said the 911 caller. Fox 5 TV reported the driver suffered some sort of medical emergency and was unconscious when officers arrived. They were able to break a car window and get her out of the car. She was taken to a hospital and was expected to make a full recovery, according to Cobb County Police. The pool cover was so strong that the car didn't sink. A tow truck removed it from the cover later in the day. Well, that's okay. That's all right, I guess. Also, police report, the Putnam County, Florida Sheriff's Office was flooded with calls on March 2nd after two low-flying F-15 jets from the Florida Air National Guard caused sonic booms, News 4 Jax TV reported. It destroyed my friggin' house, one caller exclaimed, while others thought a bomb had dropped. I have major damage. They flew right over my house. The lights were blown off the walls. There's glass everywhere, said another. The National Guard issued a statement saying that they were aware of the damage sustained by the sonic booms and had established a contact number for residents who had damage claims. We should get in on that. Should we? Let's all turn something in. Delusions of grandeur. Grandeur, if you're our good buddy Phil. For Connor James Litka, 21, of Bloomington, Indiana, it was, quote, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Litka arrived at a Porsche dealership in Louisville, Kentucky on February 21st and tried to buy a car with a fake $78 million check, Wave TV reported. When he was rebuffed, he searched around the back entrance to the showroom looking for car keys. Salespeople summoned police, who charged him with criminal trespass and disorderly conduct. Turned out Litka tried the same stunt the day before at a Land Rover dealership where he presented a $12 million check. Wouldn't you make the check for the amount due? Not just, I got $12 million, what are you selling me? Story of Oopsie. Ann Hughes, 71, was standing outside the Best One shop in Tonteg, Wales, where she works, when the electric security shutters started raising, catching her coat and leaving her dangling upside down 7 feet in the air. The incident from March 4th was caught on CCTV, Sky News reported. She hung in the air until a shopkeeper helped free her as the shutter was lowered. I'm learning to live with the fame, Hughes said. I'll never hear the end of it. She was uninjured in the mishap. That is not weird. Cheeky. Rawia Al-Qasimi, a female reporter, was covering an event in Riyadh on March 4th when a Saudi Arabian robot called Android Mohammed unexpectedly slapped her posterior during a live shot, the Daily Star reported. Al-Qasimi pushed the robot's hand away and rebuked it before the untoward touching Android Mohammed introduced himself, saying, quote, I was manufactured and developed here in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as a national project to demonstrate our achievements in the field of artificial intelligence. Ironically, though, had it been a real man, he might have faced jail time for his inappropriate behavior. I'm surprised they have female reporters on the news in Saudi Arabia. It's not as great as they make you think, ladies and gentlemen. It's really not. Maybe she's onto something. Spanish artist Alicia Framis, now based in Amsterdam, has created the perfect husband. Excuse me. A hologram that she has designed named Ilix. Oh boy. Sibulingen. And Ilix is A-I-L-E-X. Like I-A, artificial intelligence Lex. Whom she modeled on past paramours, according to Euronews. Framis plans to marry him this summer at a museum in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. On her Instagram page, she shares photos and videos of herself and Alex sharing meals and other elements of daily life. Love and sex with robots and holograms are an inevitable reality, Framis said. They are great companions and capable of expressing empathy and grabbing newscasters on the hinder. Truth is stranger than fiction. Laureen B. Ferrallo, 55, and Karen Cashbaum, 63, were charged with theft and gross abuse of a corpse after allegedly carrying out a Weekend at Bernie's stunt in Ashtabula, Ohio, the Smoking Gun reported. On March 4th, police said Ferrallo and Cashbaum, who were not related to Douglas Lehman, 80, but lived in his home, loaded his corpse into the front seat of the car, quote, in such a manner that he would be visible to bank staff, and drove through his bank where they used his card to withdraw $900. The bank had allowed the woman to withdraw from his account as long as he was with them. Having secured the funds, the woman then dropped Lehman's body at Ashtabula County Medical Center emergency room, quote, without providing any information about the man or themselves, end quote, police said. They were able to identify the women and question them. The woman, both of them who have significant priors, that's not even close, said Lehman died at home. Well, there you go. There's some news. Was it all weird? No. Was it all news? No. Our song this week for Weekly Warn is Accidentally Like a Martyr from the Excitable Boy album. And this is a pretty tough one, you know? It's got some pretty sad lyrics. Essentially, it's about being in a relationship where you still love someone and they don't love you anymore. Mournful ballad, romantic loss, lost opportunities and time. There's a rendition of the song that appears on the 2007 compilation Preludes, which is rare and unreleased recording. Has some alternate lyrics. Yeah, a little different. A strong contender for the title of Bob Dylan's 97 album Time Out of Mind is this song, which is coincidentally heavily influenced by Dylan, as the title suggests. The phrase is featured in the last line of the second verse. Furthermore, it was revealed in 2002 when Warren was dying of cancer that Dylan added for weeks in his concert set list. Songs by Zevon, like Accidentally Like a Martyr, was performed most with 22 performances in 2 months. The first couple lines of the song are as follows. The phone don't ring and the sun refused to shine. Never thought I'd have to pay so dearly for what was already mine for such a long, long time. This is one of his best songs, I think. It's one I really love, and if I could find a way to cover it and do it justice, I absolutely would. I think it's a fantastic song, and you might too. Check it out. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, show's over. You made it. We made it together. Couldn't have done it without you. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, please consider giving us a like and a review. It does help other people find the show. And you know what else does? Maybe tell somebody about it. Like that King's X song, Tell Somebody. Anyway, if you did like the show, and you do want to leave a rating and review and all that, it is greatly appreciated. If you would like to check out videos for Final Fantasy Tactics, Blasto, Gris, Gremlins 2, and any of that other stuff, head on over to jasonsgroovemachine.com or find me on YouTube at jasonsgroovemachine, and I would be happy to let you watch any of the crap I've recorded over the last 15 years or so, because that's why I did it, for you to enjoy. Enjoy that crap I recorded, would you? Great. Thank you. If you do visit Jason's Groove Machine, though, you can find links to music, you can find links to audiobooks, the podcast, all the videos we talked about. You can find me on Post, where I've been posting up a storm. That's what it's there for, I guess. If you would like to kick in a couple of bucks to help financially support the show, you can visit buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. Doing so will get you entered into being able to pick games that we stream. Get your name in the drawing for that crap, and it'll get you video versions of the podcast every week, just like the audio version, like this. But it's one you can watch. It's going to have a picture. It's going to have gameplay footage. It's amazing. I hope it's amazing. I hope you like it. Excuse me. I'm going to go. I'm going to look up the Gris music. I'm very excited. I'm going to finish encoding these videos that I started at the beginning of the show. Very excited. And then we'll be back. See you next time.